Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'd like you guys to just turn to the person to the right, left, in front, or back, and I want you to look into their eyes and say, "You look beautiful." Last week, Pastor Rich spoke about serving. And after his message, I started to really think about serving and just about ministry and, you know, what's my place, you know, in the church, in the community. And a few questions started to resonate with me, and I just want to share them with you and have you think about them also. Are you too busy to serve? Are you struggling with not enough time in the day to get everything done? Is your life in a rut with no foreseeable way out? Is your relationship with the Lord distant, maybe on hold, non-existent? Where are you? Where am I? I think there's been huge advances of technology and social media, and we've benefited greatly from that. But along with the technology and social media comes distraction, comes the downside of not really getting the things done that we need to and truly prioritizing our life. I mean, I'm the first one to admit that I'm kind of addicted to Facebook, to email, to texting. And my 7-year-old daughter, Ayla, confirms that, because when she is fighting for my time, and then I'm on my iPod or iPad or iPhone, she'll come up to me and she'll start to mimic me. And she'll say, "Oh, Daddy's on his iPhone," and she's pretending to do what I'm doing, until I drop what I'm doing to go play with her. And that's a huge confirmation, kind of disconcerting also, but a wake-up call. Just last night, Allison, Ayla, and I thought, okay, we need to really limit our time in front of the television. So we're working out some kind of schedule where we're not watching TV like we've been watching, that we limit it to maybe a few hours a week. Because that time that we start to give up will be productive with each other as well as spending time with the Lord. You know, I was searching, like, what kind of gadgets could I use to help me multitask, to help me be able to do more in a day? And I've been considering purchasing this right here, the iArm. Have you guys seen this, the iArm? You know, I thought, wow, I could put my iPad on my arm. You know, I could drink some peach tea, and then I could be on my cell phone. Or if I got two iArms, then I could probably do twice as much. But I think the real, maybe the solution, I'm still debating that, is in our solitude, in our quiet time. And I'm not really sure how much quiet time that we all have because of the technology, because we're in Silicon Valley, because of our demands. You know, no matter what stage of life that you're in, there seems to be not enough time. You know, there's a great story about this awesome Jewish prophet named Elijah. I mean, Elijah was so stressed out, and he was about to call it quits, and then God said, "Elijah, go up on the mountain and wait for me to show up." So Elijah goes up to the mountain, and then a mighty windstorm comes, hits a mountain, but God was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake struck, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a massive fire started to cover up the mountain, but God wasn't in the fire. Then the still, small voice of God came. I mean, some people think the actual Hebrew word means that you can't even hear the sound with your ears. And some translators say that God was in the sound of the sheer silence. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God was in the silence. So are you looking for God in the wind, in the earthquake, in the fire? Or are you trying to look and search and find him in the silence? I feel that we need to take ownership for our faith. That we hear weekly sermons. We may listen to tapes. We may watch services on television. But it's up to us. No matter how busy we are, we need to find that time to spend with God. It's easy to justify that we're busy, or we have a family, or we're working two jobs. But we have a God that is full of grace, that is full of mercy, that is waiting for us to come running to him, calling him Abba, Father, calling him Daddy. It's difficult to hear the word humble, like humble yourself. I mean, we've been told over and over, this is what you have to do. You got to read the Bible. You have to pray. You have to have some quiet time. You have to serve in the church. You need to tithe and give money. We're told what to do. And some of us are good at being sheep. Some of us are good at following. But I think there comes a point where we start to question. And maybe those things that we do willingly at the time now start to become burdens. Because we forget why we do it and who we do it for. But James says in James 4, verses 7 and 8, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you." I mean, if God is truly in the silence, then we need to humble ourselves so we can draw near to him. I mean, can we? Are we willing to? That is a question. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying I have it all figured out. I'm just raising some questions for you to consider, for you to reflect on, for you to leave church thinking about where's your relationship with the Lord. I mean, our relationship with Christ is a personal relationship. I think we all believe that to have a relationship, it's not about religion, but it's the time we spend with Jesus. So like any personal relationship, like I said before, we need to take some responsibility. We need to take some ownership. I mean, we need to desire to spend that time, that quiet time, the time of silence with the Lord. I mean, it's already difficult to find time to spend with our spouse or our family or our friends. But to try to carve out time to spend with a God that you cannot see, and a faith that you have to really believe in, that's difficult. That's challenging for everybody. If you do it in the flesh. In the flesh, we have other desires, other needs. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9-11, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Everybody say this with me. So that the power of Christ can work through me. Say that again. So that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. Everyone say this with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One more time. So when I am weak, then I am strong. I mean, this is a powerful teaching moment that Paul spoke. We think we have to always be in control, and I think it's because of our culture, because of our society, and we're just made to want to take control of our lives. You know, when we're struggling, we want to usually be able to come out of that struggle on our own and really not admit that we're weak and we need help. But what Paul is saying is that we need to humble ourselves. And that doesn't mean we need to be weak. That just means that we need to be transparent and real with our Heavenly Father. That, hey man, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it in my own strength. Let me just give it to you. I give you my burdens. I give you my problems. I give you my struggles. Take it. I don't want it anymore. Help me through it. I think God loves that moment. He loves that moment because, like any parent, I think embraces when their little boy or little girl comes running to them for their daddy or mommy's strength, to be comforted when they fall off their bike or their scooter, or when they have a bad day at school, or when they need help with something, or when they have problems, to come to your parents. For me, I look for those moments. I look for those moments for when my daughter comes. I mean, I'll drop everything to pick her up, to hold her, to love on her. And if we can get some kind of visual around this, that's the kind of relationship that God wants with us. He doesn't want this relationship where God is up here and we're here. He wants a relationship where he's here and we're right next to him, or we're at his feet, or we're in his arms. However you can see it, he wants a real relationship with us. So I think it all really stems back to, where is your yoke? What did you learn from? What kind of teaching have you been exposed to? What kind of baggage do you carry? What kind of wounds and hurts have you been exposed to inside and outside the church? What expectations do you think you have to be a Christian or to be a super Christian? I mean, all Jesus wants is for us to spend time with him. He's not asking anything else. Now, through that time with him, through us submitting just our weaknesses, so when we are weak, then we are strong, because he will move through us. He will move through our circumstances. He will strengthen us and build our character. And ultimately, he will receive the glory. He will receive the credit. But we're creatures of habit. We like to be in control. And that's where I think the humbling, which is difficult, to submit to him, to give him our stuff, which is, I think, a key that I continue to struggle with, I continue to try to work through. But I have to remember and remind myself that God is there for me. And he'll never leave me. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake us. That the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, lives inside us and will continue to guide us. But it's up to us to take the responsibility, the ownership, the effort to build and cultivate that relationship with him. We've got to get out of our flesh and let the Holy Spirit come in, into our heart, into our lives. There's a theologian, his name's Brian McLaren. And I was reading this quote this week, and I've been really trying to wrap my head around this quote here, and I find this quote to be inspiring. I find this quote to be what I believe church is. And he says that church is a space in which the Spirit works to form Christ-like people. And it is a space in which human beings formed in Christ-like love cooperate with the Spirit and one another to express that love in word and deed, art and action. So similar to James saying that we can't have faith without works. And if we only have works, then faith is dead. But here, what I really feel I'm inspired about is, he says church is a space. I mean, we are the church. The church isn't this building. The church is us. And are we, as a church community, allowing the Holy Spirit to work, to form our character, to build our integrity? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us spiritually, to build each one of us up? And are we cooperating with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can do his job? Are we praying to the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit is our advocate, our teacher, our guide, our friend. I mean, when Jesus poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, miraculous signs and wonders started to happen because the people in the early church were obedient and they listened and they allowed God to move through them. I mean, as I bring this sermon kind of back to the beginning, as I was, you know, proposing some questions, I mean, our message today is, where do we go from here? And I think because the Crazy Love series was a challenging series to aspire towards the writer's walk as well as his friends. But we don't need to aspire to what he wrote and to what they did. We just need to aspire to what God wants to do in and through us. That it's so easy to start to compare ourselves with other Christians. Like, oh, this person is serving and on this many committees, or a deacon, or they're doing this, this, and that. God doesn't care about that. He only cares about our relationship with him. And can you guys see that we serve because we have an overflowing of love? We give because we have an overflowing love for our Father. We do because we have an overflowing love. We don't serve and give and do because we're guilty or we feel obligated. We do it because God is forming our character to love and to give and to be Christ-like. So I think it's fitting for us to start to reflect on where are we and where are we going? And where are we going as a church? I mean, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, I mean, he preached about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He preached on repentance and baptism. And in Acts 35:37, those believers asked, and they asked him, "Brothers, what should we do?" And our message today is, where do we go? And what did they do back then? They formed this amazing community of believers that came together, that broke bread, that worshiped in the temple, that hung out together and studied the apostles' teachings, that pulled their resources together and they gave to those that had need so nobody lacked. They formed this amazing church. Call it what you want, community, church, haven, whatever, sanctuary. But they came together. And I think that's the model. Acts 2:42-47. And I think we do a good job as a church taking care of the people within this congregation. We do a very good job. But do we allow the Holy Spirit to have liberty to move freely? For the Holy Spirit and God's vision to be realized? Because I see that this church has so much potential and that God is tapping into the gifts and talents. But there's so much more. I mean, Bethlehem is an amazing experience. I mean, just imagine if every day could be like Bethlehem. Not the work days. Okay. But the actual days where people are pouring onto this church ground. 17,000 people in 5 days. That's crazy. But God wants to move in that kind of capacity. So can we go deeper as a church? Are we willing to really fall in love with God? Or is that foreign to us to really fall in love with God? Is it too distant that God is up here and we're here and we don't understand that kind of relationship? Maybe not yet. But I think the beauty of our faith and our God is that He meets us where we are. We don't need to compare. We don't need to compete. We don't need to do anything except to be in His presence, love on Him, let Him love on you. And through that kind of love and relationship, transformation starts to take place in our own hearts. Then we start to hear, we start to listen. We start to know what our purpose is. We start to know what our calling is. We start to get inspired about how God is moving in our life. How He's starting to maybe bless us now. Maybe give us this favor. Maybe we meet people that start to open doors or build relationships. Can we meet Him in the silence and discipline ourselves to go to the mountain like Jesus, to pray to our Father? I mean, a deep sense of awe came over the apostles And like I said, they started to perform all these signs and wonders. Are we in awe with our Heavenly Father? Are we in awe of His greatness? Are we in awe of the blessings He continues to pour out each and every day that we may not even recognize? I mean, are we willing to sacrifice our own time, our own personal desires, for the living God who loves us unconditionally, who performed the greatest sacrifice, the greatest act of love ever? Dallas Willard, who's a philosopher as well as an author, he tweeted this the other day. And I want to leave you kind of thinking about this, because I believe it's really, to me, it's profound. It's personally challenging. But he says, "What we have is a devotional life, but what we need is a devoted life. We have a prayer life, but what we need is a praying life." So what I'd like to do is call the worship team up. And during this next song, I just want God to move and to touch your hearts through prayer. I'm going to just encourage you to either take time and close your eyes and just pray on your own, or if you have a group around you, a family or friends or just people you know, then maybe you gather up and just kind of huddle up and just pray for each other. It's up to you. But I'm going to just pray now, and then in response to this message, I just want you to think about taking ownership for your faith, making the time to hear God in the silence, and to be able to contribute and be a part of this believing community. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the visitors that have come. We thank you for your presence. And sometimes, Lord, you just speak the truth, just the way it is. And I pray now, Lord, that your Spirit comes and touches each person's heart in this place. I pray, Father, that you would help to soften our hearts and help us to see your ways instead of just being used to the way we do things. I pray for your Holy Spirit to move so and help us to receive your guidance and your teachings and your friendship. I pray, Lord, that we would turn to you. Teach us and help us to find the silence in our daily lives that's so convoluted and with just stuff that we have to do. Stuff that probably isn't even that important. Help us, Lord, to prioritize our life, Lord. And I just pray for your grace and mercy right now to fall on us. Your Spirit of encouragement and hope and love. Just bring us that supernatural peace as we leave this church and as we worship right now. Let us just worship, Lord, with you with our hearts. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.